You're listening to the Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You know what's taking place at Rank and Jordan today? It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday, Kevin Korn, who is a PGA professional here in town, goes over, gets the golf clubs out, plays with the kids, something that he and Lori Tanner, the CEO at Rank and Jordan, came up with a few years back that said, you know, if our whole mantra is to get kids out of bed, we need them to do something. And they already have the indoor playground that was donated by Kurt and Brenda Warner. So they have this idea that kids need to be doing stuff. So Kevin said, hey, I'm a golf pro. I can get these kids swinging clubs. Doesn't matter if they're in a wheelchair, a walker, whatever. He's been doing this for years. It's a great program, and it's part of what makes Rankin Jordan so unique. This Pediatric Bridge Hospital that started in 1941. When it began, Mary Rankin Jordan had this idea of helping kids, and it sounds primitive now, but it was called the Home for Crippled Children. That's how things began, and it has grown since then, and it's continuing to grow because huge expansion going on at Rankin Jordan. In the next year or so, when they complete that project, you'll be talking about 60 kids or so that could be helped instead of the 30 right now. More information always at RankinJordan.org. That includes ways to volunteer, get involved, or help raise money. For example, the Go Marathon next month, if you want to do 5K, you want to do a half marathon, do the full marathon, get a team together, do it through Rankin Jordan. That way they can benefit as well. RankinJordan.org for more information. And a programming note, Kevin Korn will be on our Fox 2 Game Day program this Sunday, every Sunday morning at 10:30. Chuck, what do I like to say?
It's a magazine show.
It's kind of like your Sunday morning newspaper, right? You just sit back and
drink your coffee.
We have some extended visits. It's not as long as the Letterman interview in Vulture, but extended visit. So Kevin will be on the show this week. A lot of Kevins. I think the long-form Kevin Harlan interview will be on Fox 2 Game Day. That's every Sunday morning, Charles, at 10:30.
Lots of good texts talking about David Letterman. Chris Elliott was a great sideshow for David Letterman.
Love Chris. Had him on the show like a year ago. Yeah. His show at the time had the F word in it. Do you remember that?
Kind of.
And I was afraid to say it. The name of the town was F, and then the U, and then the C, and then the G. And I didn't say it, and then I heard Charlie Brennan the next day interview him. He said it. I'm like, Charlie on Cam Wex is dropping the F word in the right context.
Okay.
I guess you could. But Chris Elliott, man underneath the seats, all the weird random characters. Love Chris Elliott.
Dave's best guests, Howard Stern, O'Reilly, and Oprah. Christmas show with Darlene Love were classics. That's from the 314. I loved Letterman from the 573. I never understood how Leno won the ratings. Letterman is legitimately funny. What about that guy? Not a Leno fan. I feel the same way. I'm not trying to hate on Jay Leno. I would watch his show and think he's funny, but I never thought it was really a comparison. I always just much more enjoyed David Letterman.
When Leno was first starting as a comedian, stand-up, he would be on the Letterman show. He was on with Dave all the time. And he was really funny. He would do bits. He always brought stuff. He had props. He always had material. I started to know about Leno because of Letterman. And I think that's why Dave was even more bitter when he didn't get the Tonight Shows. I think he knew he helped put Jay on the map. But what I've never figured out is, is Jay just that cheesy, or did he do cheesy jokes just because he knew it would play in the middle of America, it was safer.
And he won the ratings.
Right, and it worked. Isn't that what makes you sick? And you're like, wait a minute, clearly, in my opinion, one guy is way, way funnier, and the other guy's not as funny, but he's more popular. Like, how do you argue against that? That's what people want. You can't tell people what to think. But Jay was always so predictable. You know, hey, there was a guy on the highway the other day, and he ran across the highway in and out of cars. And the good news is he's just been fined by the Dodgers. And you're like, what? It makes you miss the Jober joke of the week.
100%. And that's why with Leno, it was always kind of just the one-liners. And I feel like to him, it was more important to win the ratings, because I feel like David Letterman is actually more funny than Leno. And if Letterman wanted to cater to that style, I think he could have won. I do think, though, when Leno retired, you did not see all of these comedy writers and all these great comedians show the same support that they did when Letterman retired. I think for people in that industry, Letterman was the guy. Because when he stepped down, if you're on Twitter, every famous comedian, all these famous comedy writers from the last 30, 40 years, they all said how David Letterman was their hero. And I didn't see that with Jay Leno. And I also think people were not too cool with the way that Jay Leno kind of usurped Conan O'Brien and came back and took that show after it was taken from him.
Well, in the famous book, The Night Shift, which became a movie, when the NBC executives were meeting, the story goes, Jay was hiding in the closet listening. Like, and that's what David, he was, I love Jay. Jay's great. He's just a weasel. That's all. You know, and it's clear that they just can't bury the hatchet. I don't know. Maybe Jay, if he were sitting here, I bet he'd be funny as hell. I mean, you can't be that successful as a comedian without being funny. But his material, most of it for The Tonight Show, the monologue, is so cheesy. You know, hey, baby, the Cardinals are in town. Apparently, Priest now play baseball. And you're like,
But I get also why Jay Leno was...
Sorry, Brendan, I won't do that anymore.
I get why he was mad, though, because he was still at the top of his game and at the top of the ratings, but they had Conan as the up-and-comer looking back, you know, whatever that was, 2004-5. Conan was also getting just as good guests in the later time slot. It seemed like he was the next big thing. They did kind of push aside Jay for the coach-in-waiting type deal, which didn't work.
Yeah, I like Conan, but I think he's a little too weird. He's just too weird for me. But for the younger crowd, younger than me, I understand why he was popular. I don't understand why Jay was so popular. I understand why people like Conan. It just wasn't my style.
I think where Conan landed has actually been pretty good for him because he's kind of able to do what he likes, and he doesn't have to be something that he's not to cater to an audience that he doesn't want to cater to. So I think it's working out pretty
good. And
this
is the time of year where we're all reminded where he is, because I forget for the rest of the year, but during the tournament, when TBS has, or TNT, and they have the tournament games, every year they would roll out,
hey, George Lopez.
It's the new, and he would have either the Lopez show, the George show, he would have a new show, and then the next year they were all in on Bill Engvall. Then the next year it was all about Conan, and then even Caliendo had a show.
Uh-huh.
And they would always use the tournament, the NCAA tournament, to promote those shows.
It does go to show you, though, that once you get off a big network show these days, you do kind of fall off the map. When Conan O'Brien left NBC, you kind of forgot about him. When Oprah went and did her own network, now she's probably a good billionaire, but still, don't you feel like you don't hear as much about Oprah when she's no longer on ABC and the big networks?
You mean you don't record episodes on the Oxygen Channel?
Is it
still called the Oxygen Channel?
I'm sure she's making more money.
She's fine.
But I'm saying from a national profile standpoint, you kind of forget about those people.
This is a good segue to one of my favorite questions. Why are Canadians funnier than us? That's one of my serious questions, and I want to ask that to our next guest, which is Darren Pang, Fox Sports Midwest hockey analyst from the Blues broadcast. Panger, how are you?
Martin and Charlie, I'm doing fantastic. And I don't know what makes you think Canadians are funnier, but there are some funny Canucks, aren't there? I mean, there are. For such a small country, I don't know. We've got that old-style wit about us, I guess.
I mean, John Candy and Jim Carrey, and I could go. I mean, I'm leaving out the best examples, actually, but for years they just have a lighter view of life, I think, and that's where it comes from.
I'm not sure how to describe it, but I will say, growing up in Canada, if you're on a, like, any kind of team sport, if you think you're better than the next guy, I'm telling you what, you get in that locker room and you get hammered down in a hurry by the rest of the group. It's a great way of growing up, to try to be as humbled as possible. Now, I'm not saying that's the case all the time, because you guys have met me, and I'm far from a humble human being, but I have enjoyed the fact that I grew up in Canada, and I don't know. I've been here for so long, I don't know. I've probably lost a little bit of that, to be quite honest with you.
Panger, at 1 o'clock we had David Marchese on, the gentleman who did the interview with David Letterman. And then the last 45 minutes or so, we talked about Letterman versus Leno. Who is your guy, Letterman or Leno, and why?
Oh, Letterman for sure. Letterman for sure. I'm not sure about the new beard he's got sporting. I'd like to hit a Titleist golf ball right off of that top part of it. you know, I like the way he I like the way he spoke to his guests. I like the way he made his guests feel comfortable. I like the way he laughed, to be quite honest with you. It wasn't a pretentious laugh. I mean, if he got a kick out of somebody, there was a genuineness to the way that he delivered things and the way that he laughed along with his guests. So, I mean, if I were to pick the two shows, there's no question I would pick I'd pick Dave Letterman.
And by the way, I just Googled it because I had a moment here. And Mike Myers is Canadian, Dan Aykroyd, Seth Rogen, Lorne Michaels is Canadian, Phil Hartman from Canada, Norm MacDonald from Canada.
Justin Bieber.
Leslie Nielsen, Rick Moranis, Eugene Levy, all the guys from SCTV. So
Eugene Levy. Oh, my God. Eugene Levy's got a show right now in Canada that's just hilarious.
See, I think that might be the one. That might even be the one that Elliot had. Chris Elliott was, well, neither here nor there. Panger is on to talk some hockey, and it's been better hockey last couple of times out. But how painful was that for you with 10 seconds left last night to see that puck go in? Because you know what it is as a goalie to get that shutout, and particularly back-to-back shutouts. It doesn't matter in the big picture, but that kind of sucked.
Well, it would have been nice just to you know, have the game end on a real clean note. I mean, you know, you can break down the goal all you want. That was a really goofy bounce that went in, and I'm just glad it didn't tie the game up at one apiece. He played an outstanding game. The team is playing so much better defensively. Martin, you and I have talked about this. I'm a big believer in D-zone coverage and what kind of shots the goaltender gets. They've cleaned things up. The goaltenders have more confidence. Having a shutout on the road in such a tough building, I mean, just would have been a remarkable way to end that little road trip that they were on. It would have been the eighth shutout of the season for both goaltenders. You look at Carter Hutton's body of work, and four shutouts on the road ties a franchise record, and now Jake Allen is, I mean, oh my goodness, he's picking up his game. His goals against average in his last nine games is right around 1.5. His save percentage is right up there with the best in the NHL in that time. So, I mean, forget about what happened earlier in the year. I'm telling you, it's an aberration. What we have right now is the real thing. These goaltenders are they're playing great hockey. But I go back to what I said before. When they were giving up goals that people questioned, I questioned the way that the team was defending in their own zone. I didn't like the coverage and the quality of shots that were going in on the Blues in their end. And now they've cleaned up that side. There seems to be trust all the way around. Goalies are trusting the defensemen and the forwards. Everybody's trusting their own job. No one's trying to be the goaltender and screening the goaltender and tipping pucks. It's all working together. They're a great five- or six-man unit, including the goaltender, in their own zone right now.
And we're simple people, so we like simple narratives. And we said, oh, man, Martin Brodeur being on the ice and helping, even though that's overstating it, it has to play some role. When you have a guy like that now directly in the ear of a younger player like Jake Allen, do you think there's something to that?
I think there's something to the whole relationship, Martin. I think it's a really valid point. Marty Brodeur goes into there as an experienced and the greatest goaltender, but an inexperienced goalie coach. I'm so impressed with the work ethic that he's had to put forth. He was an assistant general manager. He was on the road going to the Chicago Wolves, going to games, managerial work. And when asked to go down on the ice, that's not an easy adjustment. But man, he has put the work in, and I think he's kind of simplified things in the net as well. Some of the little things that he's talking to these goalies, you know, if it came from maybe me or a guy that was a marginal goaltender, maybe it wouldn't have the same effect. But let's face it, when Marty suggests something, you're going to give it a go in practice. But I watch Marty before every practice. He sets up drills so the goaltenders are prepared for the practice. He sets up drills in his conversation with Mike Yeo that says, this is what we're doing with the goalies. I'm doing these drills at this end of the ice. You can start your practice after that. I want my goalies warmed up. I want shots on the angle. I want to do some footwork, and I want to do some crease and some shuffling and some drills. He's got the same guys that are the players that come out and they work with the goalies as his shooters. He sets up the drills. The goalies are prepared. I think everybody's in a much better, it's just a better mindset, I think, preparing for practice and less frustration to go along with, the experiences and the theories that Marty Brodeur brings to the table have been really effective.
Panger, the last month or so, you have the ebbs and flows of a Blues fan. You have the 6-game winning streak. You have the 5-game losing streak. Then they win at Colorado in impressive fashion. But let's be honest, Colorado's the worst team in all of hockey. But then last night, you win at the best team in the Western Conference. So what should Blues fans make of this team and their ability potentially to make a run in the postseason?
Well, I mean, let's face it. There have been ebbs and flows, Charlie, like you say. And it's easy to get frustrated with some of the disappointing efforts. I was certainly like everybody else. I was disappointed with the way they played the game in Winnipeg, especially considering Carter Hutton gave them every opportunity by only allowing one goal, other than, you know, two empty net goals. To me, don't count. One goal against in a game like Winnipeg, they weren't prepared enough to play. Maybe that was a little bit of a hangover from the trade with Shaddy. I'm not sure. So going into Colorado, a win's a win's a win. They did some really good things. Maybe didn't finish the game off like they would like to have. But you go into a team like Minnesota, a building like that, a team that you're not going to catch in the standings, but you could play them in the first round of the playoffs if it would start today. I was so impressed with their preparation during the day. It felt like a playoff game. You get the sense when you're at the rink before a game if a team is ready or they're not ready. I love the response. I love that the best players were the best players. It was a total team effort, and now they've just set a standard for all of us. That's the team that we expect every night, and maybe that's tough to fulfill, but I think that's what everybody expects. I think that's what the locker room expects and how they want to play every night, because if they play like that, this team is going to do some damage.
Blues weekend of hockey on deck. They host on Friday night. They host on Saturday night. The Anaheim Ducks, currently a playoff team in town, and then Doug Waite and the New York Islanders. Yeah, Dougie Waite is the coach of the New York Islanders. They're battling for a spot in the East. And again, it's the playoff push going on right now at Scott Trade Center. Tickets available. Get there because the Blues are going on a 5-game road trip after this. More ticket information at stlewisblues.com. Darren Pang will be on the call, Fox Sports Midwest. I'm curious your take on Jaden Schwartz. I think you've been making the point lately because people are on his back. He's not scoring. I've talked about some of the stats. You seem to be of the belief, though, that he's doing a lot of other stuff and that he's not in a slump, per se, overall, just not scoring. Is that your view?
Absolutely it is. I'm a guy that watches hockey like everybody else does. I don't get so overwhelmed with numbers, though. I get overwhelmed with effort. I get overwhelmed with second effort. And you'll hear a guy's name when I'm broadcasting a game a lot when he's trying hard. And if they're not trying hard, I don't often say their name. And that's, you know, that's just an indictment of how a player's playing. Jaden Schwartz has been all over it. I mean, when you're snake bit, you're snake bit. That's finishing. But you can't criticize a player for that. You criticize a player for effort. You criticize a player for turning pucks over, being sloppy, not caring, no second effort. That's not Jaden Schwartz. I mean, he's been a little engine out there, and I'm so impressed that he's sticking with it, and now he's getting rewarded, because the most important part of the season is right now, and Jaden's playing his best hockey, and that's all you want. You want, when the pressure's on, you want your players to be at their very best when the heat's on. So I think for some of the fans, I get it. There's numbers out there. I've heard some fans talk about Jori Lehterä. Maybe Jori Lehterä in a third-line role benefits him. I thought he and Yashkin and Pierre last night, I thought they were really good. The roles change. Right now, it's Schwartz, Stastny, Tarasenko were good last night. The Steen line was solid. But for me, it's all about effort, fellas. And we know when you're watching a game, are you giving it or are you not giving it? And I think if you're giving it, then that player deserves the benefit of the doubt, even if he's not scoring.
We'd always heard in the past, you know, well, Stastny might be the top center, but he and Tarasenko, they just don't mesh for whatever reason. It seems like Mike Yeo has said, you know what? You're my best assist man. He's my best scorer. You guys are going to play together. Do you think that's what went into the decision?
I do. I think at one point you say, you know, Paul Stastny has been a terrific player here on both ends of the ice. And he does a lot of work down in his own zone from the goal line all the way out. You know, Vladdy, there's been times where he's needed to be a better second effort guy and to help everybody out. Last night I thought Tarasenko was outstanding in the hockey game. And you know, I liked it. Mike, you always said, hey, you guys are going to stay with it. Maybe I'll alternate the left wingers. Steen was there for a little bit. He's now put Schwartz up there. Schwartz is buzzing right now. And I see this line sticking together for an extended period of time. And same with Same with Steen on the line with Berglund. So, I mean, when it starts falling or you don't get that buzz, well, then you change it up a little bit. But for the time being, you keep her going, and you don't make it work, because sometimes you can't throw a square peg in a round hole. I get that. But I believe that this will work, and I believe that the opposition has to get so focused on that line that allows the Berglund line and maybe lines down the line, down the road, to get a little bit more opportunity to score and get some supplemental point production in there.
Do the Blues match up better with the Hawks or the Wild? Is either a favorable match? We have no control over who they'll play, but yeah. Is there one that is a better matchup? As crazy as that sounds, because they're both good teams.
Yeah, and it does look like, percentages-wise right now, you either end up, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, you know, maybe the Blues get on a real hot roll, and especially with their schedule, it favors them. I mean, they've got 13 games against non-playoff teams. That is a favorable schedule. But let's say they finish either third in the Central or eighth in the wild card because they can't catch, let's say, Calgary. Well, they're going to play, it's going to be Minnesota or Chicago either way. Listen, they've had success against Chicago, but I don't think anybody has Chicago's number. I think that's a real dangerous team. I'm saying it right now. I'd probably prefer the matchup against Minnesota than I would Chicago. But in saying that, the Blues in that locker room, I believe that over the last couple of years, they've gained more and more confidence playing Chicago. And I think they like the adversity and the animosity that rivalry brings forth with the win last year in seven, the win in the Winter Classic. You can pick your poison. They're both different teams. But I would say Minnesota would be a better matchup, and I might be wrong about that.
All right, and I'd save the best question for last. What hole are you on? What course are you playing?
I'm actually at Wasabi Sushi Bar with my wife right now before I play at Meadowbrook with my son in about 40 minutes.
Okay, well, I was wrong. I was kind of right, Charlie. That counts as being close. Like,
sure.
I hit the crossbar. I wasn't quite correct. Well, you should get back to having lunch with your wife. You're always on the road and busy, so enjoy that, and thanks for checking in with us.
My pleasure, and I hope the fans get out there, because I think this is going to be a great weekend of hockey here at Scottrade. So thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Keep up the great work.
All right, Darren Pang with us. He was talking to me. He said, keep up the great work. Did you hear that?
That was me.
At the very end, he said, keep up the great work, but I was the last one talking, so it was probably for me.
Real quick, 20 minutes. No, he's one of the few guests that actually, he said my name, too.
Name reference.
That's when you know, when you're a media-savvy person, all you have to do is mention the name of the person asking you the question. It's just a little ego boost to that person. We need that. We're egomaniacs.
Mark Sauer, former Blues president, and Mike Alden, former Missouri AD, both famous for that. They would always work your name in. Martin, the thing about it is, and you know, Charlie brought this up earlier. It was, I think it's a tactic.
Spags did that, though. Spags would ruin sound bites because you felt the need to explain who the people he was mentioning are.
I tell you what, Jim.
Yes.
You know what? The Redskins, they're playing great football. It's like Howard mentioned earlier. You're like, stop it.
And he would mention four reporters' names to the point where you no longer understood what the actual message of the little soundbite was.
It's now time to explain the Spag soundbite. The Howard he referenced was Howard Bolzer. The Reggie was Reggie Scott.
The trainer. Yes, Jim Thomas, the beat writer for the Post-Dispatch.
Panger talking about it. It's a big weekend of hockey. Rare to have a home game on a Friday and a Saturday. Back-to-back home games for the Blues. The Anaheim Ducks on Friday, then the New York Islanders. Dougie Wade, coaching for the Islanders. Both currently in the playoff mix. The Blues trying to hang on to a spot or maybe run down Nashville. But it is, as down as I've been on this team, it's exciting to think you could have a first-round series. I'm saying as down as I've been on this team, and I don't like a lot of the issues that went into Hitch being ousted in the players, kind of, I don't know if it was tanking or just pouting, but it's exciting to think once baseball starts, a week after that, you could have a first-round series with either Chicago or Minnesota.
And in hockey, crazy stuff happens. You see the 8 seed beat the 1 every once in a while. You hardly ever see that in the NBA. In hockey, if you get in, you do have a chance.
Great seats available for both games. Again, more information at stlewisblues.com. We'll try and keep up the great work next hour. Gardner's Grinder. Oh, Thad Matta's got a great story, the Ohio State coach, talking about the recruiting wars. You don't suppose an opposing coach would go into a living room, trying to recruit a kid and tell that kid he's dying just to get the you don't think that would happen, do you?
That the coach would pretend That to be, he was dying.
Yes, in order to get the kid to sign on. If I'm the kid, I'd say, well, if you're dying, I'm not going there. But
I would do that.
That's in Gardner's Grinder. Next, it's Dan Rohn from WGN Sports, a long time in Chicago. We're going to talk about the Cubs. He was just in Mesa. A little Cubs preview for all of you Cardinal fans that want to know about the opposition. You're not afraid to know about the opposition. It's the 590 The Fan. It's the 590 The Fan. The Midday Grind here, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com. That's why I'm leaving you.